This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am so pleased to be with you today. We love spending this time with you. We certainly do Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I am always so eager to hear from you. Yes, I am. And I give you the numbers right at the start so you can call in with your questions or comments. Let me give you that number. It is toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just punch those numbers in. You will have the pleasure of talking with Matthew Gubensky, who is our call screener, and he will get your message up on the board, and we'll be able to chit-chat live right here on Women of Grace Live. Again, that toll-free number for you in North America is 833-288-EWTN. Also available to you out there, if you might be outside of North America. And that number begins with a country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985. And I must say, we're also available to you via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there, and we will collect your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement and put it up on the board. We have Rich Jesse in today for Jeff Burson. I'm not quite sure who it is that's out there on social media, but is it Michael McCall? It's Michael McCall. I'm doing very well at reading lips. Rich telling me that through the window here. I'm seeing him through the window here because I am on campus here at EWTN because it's the last Tuesday of the month. I like to do a little dance because John Martinoni's with us, and we do apologetics, and we're going to be talking about angels today. So I want you to get ready with all of your questions about angels, maybe some comments that you have. I love to talk about the angels, and we're going to be spending the rest of the week talking about them because, as you know, on Friday, it's the Feast of the Archangels, and we got three of them. So we're going to hear all about it from John Martinoni, and let me introduce you to him right now. You well know him. He's with us every last Tuesday of the month. And hey, John, you know, by way of introduction, for those who might be new, tell them all about the Bible Christian Society and what you do there.
Well, Bible Christian Society, I do apologetics and evangelization. I've got a website, BibleChristianSociety.com. Almost everything there is free audio. I've got 28, 29 different talks on various apologetics topics like Mary and the Bible, the sacraments in the Bible, apostolic authority in the Pope, sola scriptura, sola fide, all of these things that Catholics come up against when arguing against Protestants or atheists and answering their questions. And like I said, there's audio there, there's a lot of written materials there. And other than the Blue Collar Apologetics TV series, which I have to buy from EWTN, everything is free. So check it out, BibleChristianSociety.com. And I travel around the country at parishes and conferences and give talks. So if anybody needs a speaker, go to the website and give me a holler.
Yeah, it sounds terrific, and it is terrific. And I am a John Martinoni fan. As a matter of fact, I've endorsed his newest book, which I think is coming out really soon.
October 1st is what I'm told.
Wow, Feast of St. Therese
of
Lisieux.
Yes, and also my wife's birthday.
Oh, boy, you're going to be doubly blessed
yes.
on that day, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's
absolutely
fantastic. Well, you know, all of that being said, that is very close. That's less than a week away, isn't it?
That's Sunday,
yeah.
I think. Sunday, yeah.
So wonderful. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the book. We're going to talk about angels today. Phone lines are already lighting up. And so it is that we invite you to give us a call here to 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Woo, I went blank there for a little second. All that being said, you know, I've got this little book in front of me, and you all listening are familiar with it because every once in a while I dip into it. If you're a regular, you've probably heard me read from it before. But John, it's a book called Benedictus, and what it is published by Sophia Institute Press, comes out monthly. It's like Magnificat, what Magnificat is to
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to the Roman Rite Mass. Mass or to the Novus Ordo. This is to the Latin Mass. And I like this because the devotions are wonderful in it. The beautiful little meditations that they give you are wonderful in it. And it's just very, very rich in so many ways. And in this month's edition, because it is the month of the archangels, they do a classic catechesis on the angels. And this is a wonderful little thing. So, I'm just going to read a couple of these, and then we're just going to jump right into it before our break and get going on this topic today. And again, let me give you that number. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So please do give us a call. So here is the first question, and this is from a dogmatic catechism that was published in 1842.
Wow.
And you know, one of the things I like about this is that the Benedictus would dip back and pull things forward. And what the beautiful reality of that is, and you know this, John, is the consistency of the teaching. It never changes. The other thing I like is, having been an English teacher and loving literature, I just love the language
of
that
flowery language. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And it's at such a higher level than what we see today. But, oh, wow, what are we going to do? So here it is. How do you define angels? From a dogmatic catechism of 1842, they are created, spiritual, complete, and intelligent substances. They are called created substances because in the creation of the world, they were drawn out of nothing. They are called spiritual because they have no bodies, not even a most subtle body of air or light, as some of the ancients supposed. Now, no Catholic can now have any doubt on this head, the Fourth Lateran Council having expressly declared in favor of the entire spirituality of the angels. They are called complete as differing from the human soul, which is designed not by itself alone, but in union with a body to form a whole, that is the person of a man. They are called intelligent because they have great force and subtlety of understanding, so that they are called simply intelligences. So yes. they're like minds floating around.
Yeah.
You know? It's amazing. Isn't that a lovely definition?
It is. It's beautiful.
I knew you would like it.
Well, and the thing is dipping back into the old stuff, you get a lot of things that aren't necessarily taught today.
Yeah.
And that's why I've got books from the 20s, the 1850s. I've got a book from 1850 on Mary that would blow your mind. It's just absolutely awesome stuff.
Yeah. You know, and I'll say this, you know, I think that we live in a very minimalist society when it comes to theology. And I think, you know, and this is something that you speak about regularly, but I really do think it's the influence of Protestantism, which is a very minimalist kind of theology.
Oh, yeah. It's about as minimalist as you can get.
Exactly. So here we are. When we go back to a time before this time of minimalization, if I can make that word up, I think it might be a word. I don't know. But anyway, we get a richer, fuller expression of it, just like we heard now. So I'm right with you. I have a whole bunch of old books, too. And I'll bet some of you have really old books. Don't get rid of them. You spent a lot of money for those really old books.
Yes.
All of that being said, it's Angel Mania here on Women of Grace Live today, and we certainly do invite you to call us with your questions or comments. Let me give you that number again. It's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. John Martinoni in. It is the last Tuesday of the month. He's with us every last Tuesday of the month, and we rejoice and be glad in it. Coming right back, we want to hear from you. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. I have John Martinoni with me today because it's the last Tuesday of the month, and he's with us every last Tuesday of the month, and we talk about apologetics. We're going to be taking a big, long drink of water on the angels today, and I'm excited about that. But we'll take your questions on anything because we are wide open for you, and we certainly want to present you with the answers to questions that you might have about a vast range of topics. We're kind of looking at angels in a special way, though. Let me give you that toll-free number if you're in North America. It's 833-288-3986. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to use the chat feature there to put your question in. We will have, I think that we've got Michael McCall out there. Michael McCall is out there today collecting your questions left for us on the EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We also have Rich Jesse in. He's in for Jeff Burson. He's out. Jeff does both of those things when he's sitting in here because he's a social media manager. But we're so happy to have Rich with us. We're so happy to have Michael out there collecting. We've got Matt Gubensky on the phones. So be sure to say hi to him when you call. Makes him happy. And if he's happy, I'm happy. But I'm always happy when you call in. 833-288-3986. So I'm going to leave it up to you, John. Do you want to go to the first caller or do you want to talk about angels for a minute?
Well, why don't we try the first caller and then there's always time for the angels.
Yeah, there is. The angels are eternal beings, so there's always time for them. All right, we've got Juanita out there. First-time caller, Juanita, I don't have my bell with me, so I'm going to go a ding, 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 ding for you. Special bell.
And that's good enough.
Oh, good. I'm so happy you're with us. You are at St. Joseph, is it Marionette Radio?
I'm actually not sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're very happy to have you with us. And what is your question today for John?
Well, actually, I don't have a question, but I just wanted to share a little something.
Good.
Speaking of the angels, we our oldest, Michael, well, we call him Miguel. So when he was first born, I had told my husband that, you know, when we start having children, you can name the children, but we got to let the Holy Spirit guide you with that. And of course, we didn't know we were having a boy or anything like that. But, you know, he was reading one of the angel book about angels, and Miguel came up, St. Michael. And as a matter of fact, that's one of my husband's patron saints, because he's in the Marine Corps. And he actually has that tattooed on the back of his shoulder. So he's always with St. Michael and has had a devotion to him and is still having, he just still has a devotion to him. But so he said, you know, I think when we have our first boy, you know, we'll name him Michael. And I'm like, I think that sounds great. And so lo and behold, firstborn, Michael, secondborn, you know, we didn't know we were going to have another boy. His name is Raphael. Our third one is Gabriel.
Oh my goodness.
And then of course our fourth, it's a girl, and we named her after Our Lady of Fatima. So her name is Maria Fatima. And then our fifth, boy, his name is Juan Diego. And our sixth, little girl, her name is Luz Guadalupe. So, you know, I think through God's providence and the Holy Spirit, We definitely paid attention to the Holy Spirit, and it just, because for a very long time, it was just the three boys. And so anybody that had ever said, oh my goodness, you know, you got such beautiful sons, what's their names? And, you know, we would tell them, they're like, oh wow, you know, the archangels, or those of, you know, people that would sit there and say, well, you know, what's their names? What do they mean? And we're like, well, it's, you know, Catholic, right? And so we would tell them, you know, after St. Michael, after San Rafael, and after San Gabriel. And so, you know, we always remind, since the feast day is coming up, you know, we always text them now because they're out of the home. We text them and we tell them, you know, happy feast day. And don't forget where your name came from and why we named you that. So ask St. Michael, ask San Rafael, ask San Gabriel to pray for you today, because those are very, very special names. And those were very close to our hearts. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you today.
Well, you know, Juanita, that is absolutely beautiful. Isn't that lovely, John?
Yeah, I mean, really. September 29th, Friday. That's three of your boys has a big day.
It's true.
Yes, they do.
You are like a walking evangelization family. There's no question.
And one thing, Juanita, you said your husband's in the Marines, so thank you for his service.
Amen.
But the other thing is, ask him if he's ever heard the radio story about St. Michael the Archangel and the Korean War. And if he hasn't, go and look it up. It's a fascinating radio program that was done, I don't know how many years ago, but it's St. Michael the Archangel and the Korean War. Look it up. And
the Korean War.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, I think I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it's about a battle where they go into battle, and they're all, the one guy who was Catholic in the platoon had given everybody St. Michael the Archangel
medals.
And they all came out of the battle.
Wow.
And it's just awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, St. Michael is really powerful, and so is St. Gabriel and St. Raphael and Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, and Juan Diego. So I just love it. And, of course, your name is very close to mine because when I took Spanish in high school, my name being Johnette, which means little John, Sister Fidelis, who renamed all of us with a Spanish name, said, and your name will be Juanita.
That's wonderful. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
like
right.
Little John, Ita, right?
Ita's
little.
Little John, Ita, right. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for your call today. What a beautiful way to start off our discussion on angels with that beautiful story of your sons and your prayerful consideration of their names. And yeah, I just want to mention this, too, before we let you go, Juanita, that it used to be a custom, and I don't think it's so much a custom today because we ran into this period of time when we were really not giving our children Christian names, right?
Right.
But, you know, it used to be a custom that you would celebrate the name day of your child, their birthday, but their name day. And sometimes there would be a party, but there was always like a, you know, happy name day to the child. So that feast day, Juanita, is the happy name day for your children.
There you go.
So I wish them that. Carry my happy name day blessings to them, okay?
You know what? I will, and I'll let them know. I'll let them know.
That's right.
I will tell them. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call today. Just beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, that's lovely. So, John, you know, this whole business about the angels, today, given the New Age emphasis on angels, we get very confused about who these beings are.
We do. But like you said in the opening, reading from that little magazine, they're intelligent, spiritual beings created out of nothing by God, and they're here to serve God and to serve us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, angels, because Protestants believe in angels, so they say, well, there's not a whole lot of apologetics that could be done with angels because it's not really a point of contention with Protestants. I say, well, yes and no. For example, there are Protestants who don't necessarily buy into the guardian angel thing. But then we've got Matthew 18, verse 10. Jesus says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven.
That's beautiful. I never paid attention to that pronoun there.
Yeah, their angels. Well, what do you mean, their angels? Their guardian angels are there. And if the little ones have guardian angels, well, we were all little once, so we all have guardian angels, and they stay with us throughout our entire lives. So there's a, you know, scriptural backing for the church's teaching on guardian angels. Then I also you can also use the angels in a way indirectly for apologetics, because there are a number of Protestants, Jehovah's Witnesses and others, and the Oneness Pentecostals, who don't believe, well, they don't believe in the Trinity. So, like, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is God. Oneness Pentecostals believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all the same thing, same names or different names for Jesus. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 and following, it says, talking about Jesus Christ, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. For to what angel did God ever say, and it's talking about God the Father, thou art my son? So, okay, wait a minute. So for your Oneness Pentecostals, there's God the Father, and then there's the Son. So there's obviously a difference between the two. Today I have begotten thee, or I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And then there's a number of Messianic Jews and others who don't believe Jesus is God as well. And it says, and again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him.
Mm.
Well, you don't worship someone who's not God.
Amen.
You know, and the angels are higher than humans, but they're not as high as Jesus, and as it says right here, and they are to worship Jesus, the Son. And the Father is telling them this. And so it's obvious there's at least two persons in the Godhead, and you throw in the Holy Spirit after that. But it's obvious that Jesus is God, because why would the angels worship someone who is not God?
Amen. Well, you know, and the beautiful thing about sacred scripture, and of course, people say, well, you know, where do Catholics get their angelology, if you will? You know, where, and we get it from sacred scripture, right?
Yes.
And we get it from the patristic fathers who spent time, you know, combing sacred scripture and putting together for us the theological constructs that we hold to today, developed over time. You know, remember Jesus said that he would make clear to us through the paraclete, you're not ready to receive it all in one big, you know, fell swoop, but I will make it clear over time. And he's still doing that. And that's the development of theology. It's not a change. It's just a fullness that continues to come forth, because God is inexhaustible. And so, you know, God's ways, his words, and his works are inexhaustible as well. And so what we get from some of what you've read so far, John, is the fact that, and I love that from Matthew, basically, I think, gives us the certitude that we have a guardian angel, but also the capacity of the angel to be in two places at once, that gift of bilocation, which in a sense we're all going to have in our glorified body, which I think is going to be ever so cool. But anyway, you know, the angel is always beholding the face of God, but always with us too.
Yes.
And he brings, if you think about it, I mean, you know, this is just Johnette now, but if you think about it, he's beholding the radiance of God, and the angels reflect the radiance of God, which is why when people have seen them, they're so bright. It's the glory of God that lights them. So in a sense, this angel that's always with us, but always beholding the face of God, is always bringing that glory of God to us, so that we can enter into it and it can enter into us when we open ourselves to receive it. Isn't that lovely?
It's awesome.
I love it. I just totally love it. Let's go to Christine. I'd like to go to Christine in Chicago, Illinois today. And she is listening to us via WSFI. So, hi, Christine.
Hi. I just want to share that we all have our, with our guardian angels, they sometimes bring us out of trouble, and I like to pray the rosary, and there's even the chaplet of the angels that they say, that I've heard it say. I have one of those, and I think a lot of this was taken away. A lot of these things are taken away. I personally blame Vatican II for that.
Well, as I say, Christine, you know, here's the thing. It's very interesting about Vatican II. If you go and you read the documents of Vatican II, you're going to find out that they're quite beautiful and they're quite full. But it was the misappropriation of those by a handful of progressives that have had an incredible influence. And those progressives are still with us. And I think a lot of the minimalization that we're seeing that John and I just touched on at the beginning of the program is due to the misapplication and really a false sense of ecumenism, John, because ecumenism in and of itself is not meant to water down our theology. Ecumenism is meant to develop relations with our Protestant brothers and sisters, to find where it is that we're the same, but then to seek to lead to a fuller expression of the faith life in them. So to bring them into the fullness of truth, which is found in our Catholic Church. And John, that's what evangelization is meant to do. But all too often what we find is that, you know, we allow our faith to be diminished. And what a sad thing, to our detriment, you know, and to our spiritual impoverishment.
Yes, there's a prison ministry group that's interdenominational, air quotes. And I started going to this because I knew several Catholics who were in there, and they're Methodists, Evangelicals, Presbyterians, Lutherans, etc. Well, I quickly realized that in order for me as a Catholic to be interdenominational and ecumenical, that meant I had to give up Mary, give up the Pope, give up the sacraments. I had to be a minimalist. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't pray a Hail Mary in this group. I couldn't say things about the Eucharist and talking about, well, when we go into the prison, we need to talk to these prisoners about, you know, the real presence of Christ. No, so I ended up leaving that group. I didn't participate with that particular group in prison ministry. But yeah. And regarding Vatican II, I have a story with... I grew up Catholic, didn't learn my faith, left the faith when I went off to college, came back 13 years later, and still didn't know my faith when I came back. I was slowly learning. I got involved with a Bible study at the parish I was going to here in Birmingham. And I was the youngest person in the prayer group or in the Bible study by about 20 years. Okay, but as we'd go through the Bible study throughout the year, every now and then I'd hear somebody say, well, Vatican II changed that teaching. Oh. And Vatican II changed that teaching. And it got me curious. I finally said, I've got to find out about this Vatican II thing. So I went and bought the book, The Documents of Vatican II. And I start reading. I was like, Vatican II didn't change any doctrinal teachings. And so we had one day where we, you know, we're in the study and somebody says, well, Vatican II changed the teachings on marriage. And I said, no, it didn't. And this woman was like, what? You know, how dare you challenge me, number one, but number two, how dare you say Vatican II didn't? I said, no, it didn't. If you go and read this document, it'll tell you all about it. I said, you know, I keep hearing Vatican II didn't change any doctrinal teachings.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't particularly care for me after that.
Which is interesting, you know, Father, you know, people would say, well, in the spirit of Vatican II, in the spirit of Vatican II. I one time heard Father Mitch Pakwa say, yeah, and that spirit of Vatican II needs to be exorcised. Yeah, so it's wonderful for us to know what the church really teaches. And for that reason, I really suggest you get a catechism of the Catholic Church. I suggest that you get the documents of Vatican II. I suggest you dip into some of the books that John and I have been, you know, mentioning that are older books, because they give you a very full picture of what the church teaches. And then you can do your own comparative study and you'll see that nothing's really changed. 833-288-EWTN. Pick up the phone. Call us right away. We want to hear from you today. Also available at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. Coming back, going to take Lady Liberty's question from YouTube. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. We are so happy you are with us today. You make my day when you call in or when we hear from you via YouTube or Facebook. Certainly do invite you to give us a call. We've got Charles Beery in on the social media today, and so we invite you to leave a message for us there. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page is available for you. And we have Matt Kubinski on our phones today, as always. He is our call screener. We invite you to call us at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone, punch those numbers in, and you can join me. I have John Martinoni here today. It is the last Tuesday of the month, and he is with us the last Tuesday of every month. And we talk about apologetics on this day. So any question that you have on apologetics is fair game. But we are, you know, kind of emphasizing the angels today in light of the fact that we have the Feast of the Guardian Angels coming up on, not the Guardian Angels, excuse me, the Archangels coming up on Friday, September the 29th. Lady Liberty's out there on YouTube. We invite you to leave your question for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. And Lady Liberty, whose name I really like that little handle, she's asking, why is it bad to name our guardian angels, John?
Because you have no authority over your guardian angel. That's why. You know, I name my children because I have authority as their father over my children. But we have no authority over the guardian angel. So if we were to name the guardian angel, what we're saying is, I have authority over you, and you do not. Now, excuse me, I will share a story about my guardian angel. I was kind of in between sleeping and waking, you know, in that state where it's like, is this really happening, or is it just a dream, or am I imagining this? What? And there was like a conversation going on with who I thought was my guardian angel. And something came out. I said, well, what's your name? And I got this name back. I said, what? He goes, it's in Hebrew. Gave me a Hebrew name. And I was like, I said, well, what does that mean? He says, fashion. I said, fashion? Like Paris walking down the line? Of and he goes, no, you idiot. Like fashion from the dirt of the earth.
Oh, wow.
So if it was my guardian angel, he called me an idiot, which deservedly so. So I can call him fashion, but it's I didn't name him that. That's what I think I got. But I don't really do that because yeah. I'm like, I don't know if that really happened or not. Or again, was that a dream? Was that, you know? So, but that's where if you're told the guardian angel's name, you can call them that. But you are not in a position, you do not have the authority to name your guardian angel.
No. And we can get into trouble with that because the fact of the matter is, one, we are assuming a right. We are assuming an authority that we don't have. And how do we know all about this naming stuff? Well, you know, because we go back to Genesis, right? And what
yes.
did God do in Genesis with Adam? He gave him
he
authority.
Gave him the authority to name all the animals.
That's right. But it was God sharing his authority with man.
Right.
Right? And there's nowhere in Scripture that I know of that says, okay, go ahead and name your guardian angel, right?
No, no. But we have the guardian angels, or not the guardian angels, but the angels, like Gabriel says, I am Gabriel, you know, telling
right.
the name.
That's right. That's right. But they've been named by God.
Yes.
So they're giving their names that God gave them. But here, you know, in this little classic catechesis that I started with, it says, what does the name angel signify? And the answer is angel means messenger. Therefore, the name angel is given to the celestial intelligences, not as the proper name of their nature, but as the proper name of their office when they are sent by God to discharge some embassy or to give some counsel. So, you know, that's the name that we're given to call our angel is angel. And that's what we call our angel until such time as God tells us otherwise, I suppose. So angel is the way to do it. And that's why it's bad to name your guardian angel. You don't have the authority to do that. You stated that so beautifully. I want to get to Beth. She is on the Eastern Shore of Maryland today, listening to us via the EWTN app. And we want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Hey, Beth, on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, how are you?
Well, I'm well. Thanks very much, Johnette. And hello, John.
Hello, Beth.
I have a story about a guardian angel. I have a pastel of grandchildren, and I have prayed for them and prayed to their guardian angels since each of them was born. But I never really prayed for, you know, miscellaneous relatives. And at one point, I kind of got this impetus that I should pray for my youngest daughter. She had bought her first home, and she lived by herself up in Pennsylvania, and I was just thinking, I just should pray for her. So I started praying the guardian angel prayer. And not more than 10 days later, I got a text that said, started furnace for the first time, on fire. Fire trucks here. We'll talk later.
Oh, my goodness.
And, well, you know, first off, never text your mother that, right? She'll have
thinking.
A heart attack. But in any event, when I finally did reach her to talk to her, that is what happened. The furnace caught fire, and it was a Sunday morning, and she was, you know, at home and was able to turn it off, and there was smoke and water. But she said, oh, my gosh, Mom, my guardian angel was really watching out for me.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, well, what do you mean? She said, I went to a wedding on Saturday, and I got home very late, and I, you know, we had some partying at the wedding. And she said, it was cold in the house, and I thought, I should turn that furnace on. And then I thought, no, I'll just burrow under the blanket. And she said, you know where my furnace is? It's directly under my bed downstairs.
Wow.
Whoa.
And she said, I know, you know how I sleep. Well, I used to send the dog in to wake her up, if that tells you anything. So she said, I would not have woken up. I wouldn't be here.
My
and
goodness.
And I believe that was right. And so I pray to all the guardian angels, all my relatives, the ones that are baptized, not baptized, whomever. But I just truly believe that we all need it. We need those prayers.
My goodness.
So that's my guardian angel story.
It's a beautiful story, Beth. My goodness. I mean, you know, and this is, you know, I can't tell you the numbers of stories that I've heard, John, and Beth, I'm sure you have too, of individuals who have had these interventions by their guardian angels. And in the case of this situation, your daughter's life literally was probably saved as a result. So, yeah, we do pray. You know, we are called to pray to our guardian angels. We're asked to acknowledge them. You know, they are with us. I like to say I like to use that little prayer that we learned as children, Angel of God, my guardian dear.
Every day.
Me too. I do. And sometimes I just say, I know you're here, Angel, you know. And our angels will do our bidding for us. You know, it's not that they're servants in that sense, but when we have a need, it is their job to help us in the midst of that. And their ultimate responsibility is to get us to heaven, and everybody's got one. Everybody that's created.
Now, and I will say, I'll pray my guardian angel first, then I'll say, Angel of God, Janelle, Brennan, McKenna, Ethan, Noah's guardians, dear, my families.
Oh, that's
and I'll
really
pray for
nice.
Their guardian angels to protect them.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. I never thought about that, John. So I'm going to start to do that too, and then you can do that. Then when you have grandkids, you can just add.
Yes.
You might never get out of that chair.
Well, and that'd be okay.
It would be. Oh, Beth, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing.
And I did a little cross stitch for each of my daughter's children, whom we never would have seen, for their baptism. That has the guardian angel prayer and a little, you know, embroidered angel on it.
That's awesome.
That's been something that they can see and know about.
That is beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. I think it's very important to raise our children and grandchildren with these beautiful teachings and traditions of the church. And in many cases today, it's the grandparents that are continuing, you know, these truths of the faith in the lives of their grandchildren. Beth, thanks so much for your call. Let's get to Ruth. She's in Easton, Pennsylvania today. Hey, Ruthie, how are you?
I am going home today.
Praise be to God. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank everybody for all the prayers, all the prayers. George is right here, too.
Oh, hi,
ready
George.
To take me home.
Hi, Janet. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Well, this is delightful news. So let's just do this. Since we're talking about guardian angels, let's just pray to your guardian angel, Ruth, and ask your guardian angel to protect you and George as you make your way home from the hospital. Father God, we do come before you in this moment with great joy and thanksgiving that Ruth is going home from the hospital today. We know, Lord, that she's being released because she's doing so much better. And we thank you for that. And I thank you for the gift of George, her husband, who is always there for her, and she is there for him. What a beautiful image they present to us, Lord, of what married life is meant to be. And I just want to entrust, Father God, I just want to entrust Ruth and George as they travel home to their guardian angels, respectively, and ask that they have a safe journey and that they make the way smooth for them, that there are no hassles in traffic or any kind of traffic issues that could pop up. And I pray that once they get home, their angels would continue to intercede for them before your heavenly throne, bringing to them all of their needs and all of their specificities and everything, Lord God, that is about this time in their lives. We ask you to continue to give Ruth good health, and we ask you, please, the same for George. And we pray this for all of our listeners today, asking that their guardian angels, too, will bring them the treasures of heaven and take their treasures to heaven by way of their heavenly intercession. And so it is, Father, that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ruth. Keep letting us know how you're doing, okay?
Okay. I did have a thing about angels.
Sure.
And fire within, it's talking about Teresa of Avila and how she saw angels, and I thought it reflected what's in Revelation. I would love to hear about that. And also, putting your Bible out on your in your room in the hospital, you'll be surprised he'll talk to you. So that's a suggestion. If people like me.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. And unfortunately, Ruth, you've spent some time in hospital. So just to have, the Word of God with us, and if we have our own Bible, it's something that we should pack in our suitcase if we know we're going to hospital. Ruth, let's just talk to John about this for a minute. You know, it's an interesting thing because in sacred scripture, we see that angels do appear to people.
Yes.
You know, certainly Our Lady there in Luke. I'm thinking about St. Joseph, who saw angels in his dream, and I'm thinking about Tobit. And they do take on human form. But I don't think that we see an angel in his pure substance because they're spirit.
They're spirit, right. No, they have no characteristics, physical characteristics whatsoever.
Right.
So, yeah, you cannot see the angel in its pure spirit. Now, in heaven, where, you know, when your souls are in heaven and, like, people who die now and go to heaven or purgatory, if you see an angel, it's with your intellect. You know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and exactly how you would see them is right now beyond our comprehension.
Right.
So, but you wouldn't see them in the same way that I'm seeing you and you're seeing me.
Right, right, because they're not corporeal beings. But when God wants for the angel to be seen by an individual, he will let that angel take on a human form. I don't know how
right.
all that works, but we don't need to know how it works. We just need to know that it happens. And another one that saw angels and saw his guardian angel from the time he was a little boy was St. Pio of Pietrelcina, Padre Pio, whose feast day we just celebrated.
Yes. You know? Yeah. He talked to his guardian angel all the time and had him run errands for him and things, go see people and all sorts of things.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of like, you know, when you hear your angel speaking to you, it's more of an intuited hearing.
Right.
Right? It's like how it is that we hear the voice of God way down deep at the bottom of our soul. It's not with our auditory sense.
No.
Although that can happen. God can do anything he wants to do. He is God,
yes.
After all. He is all powerful. So, well, Ruth, thank you for your call today. You drive her home carefully, George. You got precious cargo there, as I'm sure you well know. All right, let's get to Joseph. He's in Midland, Texas today. Good morning to you, Joseph, listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Joseph.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, we can.
Okay, good. I was going to pull over so you can hear me talk. I'm on the highway, but I can pull over. So, I just want to ask. That's kind of a heavy, heavy subject here. So, a friend of ours called, and her mother's on her deathbed, and a lot of arguing and bickering going on within the family members, and power struggles, I guess you could say. I don't know. The best advice I could give her was, you know, when you're there, just take some holy water with you. Just, you know, splash it around the room because, you know, there's a power struggle for her soul going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's angels, there's demons that are, you know, battling out right there. Of course, you know, what we bring in, too, you know, sometimes death will, you know, especially a family member, is going to either bring out the best of us or it's going to bring out the worst of us. I've seen it. It's just, you know, it's terrible how it happens. But, you know, and she's a woman that likes to speak her mind. I mean, tells it like it is, but, you know, she says, I had to, you know, control myself. But that's good.
Yeah.
I'm proud that you did control your, you know, your anger.
Yeah.
I said, you just hold your mother, give her a kiss, and, you know, just be there for her. And,
yeah.
You know, disregard all the other stuff that, you know, the battle that goes on within that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joseph, you've given great advice to your friend, and it is true, John, that for whatever reason, oftentimes when someone is dying, the worst of people come out. But I think, Joseph, you're onto something there, and let's talk about this. I mean, obviously, we're talking about the angels, angelic beings, right? But we know that there was a third of the angels wiped out of the sky, a third of the stars, you know. We know that that has to do with the angels who disobeyed and were tossed out by Michael and his angels. So we do have demonic presences, and there is a fight that goes on around the deathbed for somebody's soul.
Yes.
And so we have to acknowledge that, and oftentimes they will work through people. They usually go for the weakest link, the one that they know they can get to the quickest and easiest, who will be the, you know, match that lights the flame that causes all kinds of misery at that moment.
Yeah, the scripture tells us in Jude verse 9 that St. Michael was at it with Satan disputing about the body of Moses.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, yeah, and it's so, yes, there is... a spiritual warfare going on constantly around all of us, but particularly, I would think, around those who are on the point of death, because, hey, there's, you know, Satan's like, I can get me another one here.
That's right.
And so the struggle intensifies. So that's where you need to intensify your prayer. Like you said, holy water, maybe get some blessed metals to put under the mattress or something in, around the room. But just, you know, cover the mom and the family with prayer.
Yeah. I can remember very specifically, and this is my own personal story about this, when my late husband Anthony was dying, you know, and he was in the process of death for about 8 months, you know, and before he went into a coma. But he was in a hospital bed in our family room. Our master bedroom was right off of the family room. So I was very close by, just a matter of steps away. And I remember he would always in the middle of the night, he would call out to me. And he always called me John, you know, John, John. And I would come out and he'd say, they're back. And I knew what he meant.
Oh, wow.
And he was being tormented. And so, you know, I was, okay, honey, I'll take care of this and get the holy water. Would go around that bed with the holy water, praying the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. And then he'd finally say, okay, they're gone. But there is a mighty battle that can rage, right?
Yes.
And so we want to be aware of that. And I do know that some of the great saints, and Thérèse of Lisieux, our little flower, being one of them, was terribly tormented. She was in a dark night, really, and God will permit that for the final purification. And, you know, her biographers often say that that's what was going on there. But she was tormented to disbelief. And I don't know exactly what the nature of Anthony's torment was. I never asked him. I didn't certainly want to irritate or agitate him, basically, any right. more than he was already agitated by it. So all that being said, you know, Joseph, you know, and the best thing for you to do is to continue to give your good advice to these people and to pray for them and to pray for this woman and to realize that, you know, these things do happen. And it's always sad when the evil one can get to family members to do his bidding, to do his work. But that's yes. what's going on there. So, Father God, we just ask that for the sake of this woman, that you would dissipate these demonic presences, and that you would in some way instill in the hearts of her loved ones that peace that surpasses understanding and the ability to let go, of their own selfish wants and desires at this moment, to let go of any power struggle that's going on. And basically when it's time to just let go of their mother and to realize that, you know, our loved ones are not separated from us, only invisible to us, and that we will all have this moment, and this moment should be as peaceful as possible for the one who is making his or her journey back to you. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Anna Marie out there, John says, I heard once from a priest, I think, that our angels accepted to be our angels rather than assigned. They heard all our mistakes and attitudes and said to be with us anyway. Well, you know, that's interesting on a couple of levels. Why don't you respond to that?
Well, I would say that that's not a church teaching, a doctrinal teaching. It may be true. I don't know if there's any way that we would know that other than maybe if a saint or something had received some private revelation that was the case. But it's a rather interesting thought that, hey, they knew us. They knew all of our mistakes that we were going to make and attitudes and how we were going to be, you know, whether we were going to be jerks for the most of our life or nice people, or and they accepted us anyway. So...
Well, I think, you know, I have a couple of thoughts about this. One, I mean, the angels are not omniscient, so that knowledge would have to be imparted by God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it might be, but, you know, I kind of, you know, there's a part of me that, you know, always being the last one chosen for sports teams. It's like, okay, who's going to take this one? All right, somebody's got to step up to the plate and say yes, you know.
We'll take her.
So I don't quite know if it would be quite like that. I tend to think that, you know, the angels who are always beholding the face of God and desire only to please him, I think would be very happy to do whatever it is that God would ask them to do. Well, this has been great, John. It always is great on the last Tuesday of the month. I'm so glad. And friends, it's always good to be with you. We invite you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and faith. Do want to remind you about the Women of Grace Wagathon this Saturday, September the 30th. Sign up. It's free. Register. It's going to be a blast on Saturday afternoon. Get out there. Read about it at womenofgrace.com. And don't forget, on Monday, I'm just giving you fair warning, it's Monthly Marriage Monday, and my husband Jack Williams will be with me in studio right here where I am with John today. So we look forward to all of that. Do go to our website, womenofgrace.com. Get to BibleChristianSociety.com.
Yes.
Yay! Bye, everybody.